The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.
From the WLRN newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett.
My granddaughter was going to drown, and I was going to drown. We're going to die there.
Heavy rains fell last week in Toa Baja, Puerto Rico, a town west of San Juan. The sound of the downpour took 68-year-old Carmen Rivera back to September 20th. That's the day Hurricane Maria roared into Puerto Rico and destroyed her home.
They break the roof. And then the water started coming up.
Maria's winds knocked most of Rivera's roof off. But even scarier was the flood surge from a nearby lake. It filled her house and almost swallowed her 10-year-old granddaughter.
She went in underwater.
The little girl was rescued. But no one could save the poor, retired grandmother's house, where she'd lived for 31 years, or any of her belongings. For a month, she and her family took shelter at a dank local school gym with almost nothing.
It hurts your spirit. I lost everything. You know, I won't talk about it because I'm going to cry. It's very sad.
Here's the other sad part. For weeks, Rivera and hundreds of other hurricane refugees from her Toa Baja barrio saw little, if any, relief aid. Food and water were scarce. They wore the same clothes for days on end. No soap, no toothpaste, and like the rest of Puerto Rico, no electricity. That caught the attention of folks in the more affluent and less damaged town of Dorado next door. Like Lisandra Baez. She and other Dorado residents collected food and water for the Toa Baja victims, but it wasn't enough. So Baez went to San Juan to seek help from relief officials.
At first, I was going to get registered as a volunteer and turn my house into a center of distribution. I went there, and that was like a circus. In a line for about 3 hours, 3 hours that I could have invested on something useful.
Baez also noticed how full the port of San Juan was with relief supplies. Aid was getting to the U.S. island territory, but the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, was having big problems moving it into the demolished island.
We needed to do another thing. We couldn't wait on the authorities. We couldn't sit around and just do nothing.
Baez contacted a Puerto Rican schoolmate now living in West Palm Beach. Her pilot husband could fly a relief flight in from Florida, and a relative in Orlando whose church could send a sea shipment. An airplane and a boat container with donated aid to be taken directly to Toa Baja.
Soap, toothpaste, toilet paper, underwear, flashlights, solar batteries, first aid medicines.
And things you might not think of, like large buckets for capturing rainwater, so Toa Baja victims like Carmen Rivera no longer had to use their meager drinking water for washing. But perhaps most important, plastic tarps to cover the hundreds of naked roofs in Toa Baja so families could move back into their homes to clean up and finally start their lives over. Last week, Baez's group hammered tarps onto Toa Baja houses like Enrique Gonzalez's. The truck driver's home and those of his neighbors look as if they've been shattered by wrecking balls. So does their street, still strewn with rotting tree and furniture debris as far as the eye can see. But today, says Gonzalez, we can stay home. For the first time in a month, we can stay. And not just in Toa Baja. It's one of scores of towns across the island that have benefited from direct relief aid flown in by the Puerto Rican diaspora in Florida, especially South Florida. Remember that schoolmate of Baez's who lives in West Palm Beach? Her name is Astrid Anduce. She's originally from Manatee on Puerto Rico's north coast, and she's organized numerous relief flights into Puerto Rico, like this one that took off recently from the Boca Raton airport.
This all started because I have a 93-year-old grandmother in Puerto Rico, and we were desperate to get her out. That got the ball rolling into, if we can get supplies to Puerto Rico, let's see how we grow and be able to help towns and refugee centers.
The first flights were flown by Anduce's husband Alex in a Kodiak prop plane. Then they put up a Facebook page called Puerto Rico Relief Flight.
The networking has been incredible.
Keith Fetke became part of it. He's a director at a West Palm Beach charter company called Exclusive Charter Services. It has wealthy Puerto Rican clients paying thousands of dollars now to get family and friends out of Puerto Rico. Those jets going into Puerto Rico are empty, so Fetke's customers agreed to donate them as relief supply carriers.
They're happy that their well-being can help other people that are in dire need at this point.
A mutual friend hooked Fetke up with Anduce. Soon, thousands more pounds of aid were getting more quickly to many more Puerto Rican towns, including the most desperately sought item in Puerto Rico right now. generators. Maggie Melendez runs the Clinico del Mar, a private medical lab that serves thousands of people in Vega Baja, Puerto Rico.
The lab was closed. The patients were waiting for us to give lab results, but our hands were tied.
After Maria, many of Melendez's customers caught bacterial infections like leptospirosis and mosquito-borne illnesses like Zika. But the lab couldn't help them because it had no power. And it wouldn't for weeks because it couldn't get a generator through official relief channels. Melendez's son and clinic administrator, Jose Ignacio Nater, heard about the Andúcese's relief flights.
Everything was paralyzed. If it wasn't for that relief flight, we couldn't be here right now talking to you.
Now the Clinico del Mar has a 7,000-watt generator. It's a story playing out all over Puerto Rico and South Florida. A third of Florida's 1 million Puerto Ricans live in Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Their aid flights, of course, can't replace the FEMA or U.S. military relief efforts in Puerto Rico, but Nater and other Puerto Ricans on the island, who are U.S. citizens, say the diaspora has at least helped plug large federal government holes.
Puerto Rico was not ready for this, and I don't think FEMA was ready for this.
Debbie Sosa helps lead a Puerto Rican relief flight project in Miami out of a Doral warehouse.
The logistics is too crazy, and the red tape has gotten in the way of getting the aid to the people.
This week, Sosa's group is sending 5,000 pounds of supplies to half a dozen communities, like the hard-hit interior towns of Orocovis and Ciales. Sosa says the enterprise is also helping make the state's Puerto Rican diaspora more tight-knit.
This is going to make us stronger. We want Puerto Rico to have a voice in Florida.
It will need one, as Puerto Ricans back in the town of Toa Baja know, like Maritza Rodriguez. While Florida Relief Flight volunteers placed tarps on her roof last week, the grandmother tearfully searched for family photos not ruined in the hurricane. Someday we'll sing in this house again, Rodriguez says. This is a start. A start that probably would have been delayed much longer if someone hadn't called for a plane from Florida.
I'm Tim Padgett in Toa Baja. You can read more of our Latin America coverage at WLRN.org.
The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.